Hello and welcome to My Dad Wrote a Porno, The Footnotes. Today we have the star of Silicon Valley, the Emmy-nominated comedy genius, Thomas Middleditch. Hi, mate. How's it going?
Pretty good. Hello to you all and hello to all your listeners.
Hello. Where are you in the world?
Currently, I'm in sunny Puerto Rico.
Nice.
Shooting a film with none other than Mr. Keanu Reeves.
Oh, get you.
Yeah, everybody has to pay attention to me now.
What's Keanu Reeves like?
He's actually a very kind-hearted man. I don't know what I was expecting.
I hadn't heard otherwise.
he's great. I constantly resist the urge to just, like, quote Point Break and Speed and all these movies that have influenced me.
Does he still wear the long leather coat from The Matrix?
And it's weird when you bring up The Matrix. It's like, why does everyone do that? I'm like, because it's the leather coat.
It's a staple of his wardrobe. Doesn't he know that? Duh.
Yeah. I did at some point do a little like non-heinous from Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. And he had a chuckle.
A polite giggle.
Well done. Now get the fuck away from me.
So you've been listening to Belinda Blinked, the continued adventures of book two.
I have never laughed harder. Fucking goddamn podcast. It is like I turn into a psychopath. I'm like walking my dogs or something, snotting out my fucking guts. It's so good.
My dad is a genius. What can I say?
I'm actually prepared to make the argument that he is 100% a full-blown genius.
We're ready to hear those arguments.
Even just recently, I stay fit, you know how I do it. And I was on the old elliptical here in the hotel, just like doubling over. Just listening to your damn podcast. It's so good. I'm late to the party. I really only started a month and a half ago, and I chewed through them all. They're so good.
Wow. So you've binged it.
I've binged. I'm a binge podcaster.
I must purge, because I have binged.
Yeah. I have to mix it up because I like this other podcast called Sword and Scale, which is like a very dire true crime podcast about like just the worst horrible crimes of all the world. And so I pepper in yours to help bring me out of my like reckless hatred of all mankind.
And yet this is more eye-watering, surely.
I was gonna say, I think this is one of the most reckless crimes of all time, actually. My dad wrote in this book. It's horrific. To me, at least. I mean, everyone else loves it, apparently, but for me, it's still very much a traumatic experience.
I can imagine. Yeah, man, it's pretty... there are some lines that just really take you by surprise.
One of my favorites recently was The Flesh of Mankind.
Yeah. Yeah, The Flesh of Mankind. And his weird... You know, there's sometimes where I think your dad, he maybe has, like, the sexual knowledge of a 13-year-old. Like, it's all hearsay about what he heard sex is like from the kids at the playground.
Yeah,
you know what
so
I mean?
True.
But, like, almost like the kids in the playground at another school quite far away, so they've had to sort of, like, shout it long distance, and then stuff's got lost in translation.
Yeah. It's all like, I hear what you got to do is apply pressure. Just put some pressure on it, like it's got some bleeding or something, and make sure to just fiddle around those lids. It's crazy that he calls, like, I don't know what I would call just pussy lips.
Straight up pussy lips.
Pussy
that's
lips,
what we all call them.
He calls that shit vaginal lids. It's such like a lot of the sex turns into like a fucking gyno exam. It's so medical and.
Yeah, except a gynecologist who knows nothing about the female body.
Someone who's been struck off the medical register, for sure.
Yeah, and people like reaching up and like smashing the cervix or something. Is it always like you like, and he chewed her cervix or something?
Chewed her cervix?
He's always high-fiving it or poking it or pulling it. Yeah, something's always happening up there. Yeah.
Chatting away to it.
Yeah, why I think your dad's potentially a genius is he's written, in my mind, one of the most tragic characters in all of literature. I mean, because here's this woman who thinks she's pretty fucking sexy. Like, if this book is kind of secretly from her point of view, she's an incredibly sexy woman who's throwing it out for everyone. And people have noticed, like these weird lascivious businessmen have all noticed. They're like, hold on, we can get this train wreck woman to do anything we want. she's thinking she's doing a really good job when really she's just being like tied up in a maze and getting screwed by the Sterling. What's his name?
Jim Sterling. Mr. Micro Penis. Yeah.
Yeah. This little severed finger.
Oh. The thing is, though, I think Belinda actually is kind of successful at what she does. Like, she does get the orders in, to be fair.
She does, but why I think there's like another layer going on is because your dad's, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, he set out to do an erotic novel that ideally would turn you on.
Oh, that makes
a
lot of sense now. Okay, that's what he was trying to do. Oh, got it.
Yeah, at least that's what I'm led to believe. But, I mean, what ends up happening is, like, he creates these scenarios which are so far from that. Again, like, a really kind of detailed description of fucking a short guy with a tiny dick. Mm. Like, there's not many people, even if you're into erotic fiction, that would read that and be like, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Who's that turning on? Completely agree. It is an odd direction to take an erotic novel, isn't it? Something so 100%. Grotesque that you're like, oh, God, I'll never have sex again.
Yeah. And also with that dude, the Dutch guy. Who is
Dr. Robbins.
Robbins, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm nothing against anyone with any mental affliction, but he's like
he's certifiable.
He's giggling like and like shuffling and probably like using his thighs to like jerk himself off or something. Like, it's so. This is why I think your dad, old Flintstone, has got it on point. He's describing these terrible situations, and in her mind, she's like, ooh, I am the sexiest bitch in the world.
But it does make you think, who's its audience? Who is it aimed at? Is it aimed at men? Is it aimed at women?
Business people?
Yeah.
Well, if it is, it paints a pretty bleak picture of the business world.
It does, doesn't it?
It paints a picture of, like, older dudes who are constantly, like, hello, oh, you look nice. Like, everyone's like, they see a girl enter the office and they're like, oh, I'd like to rub my hands on her. Like, everyone is like, first words out of their mouth are like, nice breath.
But to be fair, that's all Belinda ever says. She's always like, oh, I mean, she looked great, but her breasts were inferior to mine. She had a great ass, but I guess her breasts were lacking. That's all she judges people on as well.
Which feeds the fire that, like, she is this tragic figure. I loved all those, whoever drew them, those, like, drawings on your Instagram of, like, a bit of a portly potato body Belinda. And she's, like, loving it. Like, I mean, the
delusion is... Yeah,
rife. It's the delusion. The chapter when she's like smashed at that nice restaurant and falls down and is like fucking, she's naked and stuff. Yeah. And the fact that like it doesn't end with Peter Rouse like putting a blanket over and taking her home.
Yeah.
It doesn't end like that. In fact, he's like, come on, let's go to the casino. And like meet this Russian pervert who is a big greasy, like, what's that dance in like Eastern countries where they squat and stand up and stick their legs out? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know the one. Yeah,
like the kind of Bolshevik.
Yeah,
my mate can do it really well. Actually, he's got it down.
At this point, Flintstones described that dude as like Zangief from Street Fighter. I mean, he's like this.
What a reference.
Well, I mean, it's like such a stereotypical crazy Russian guy who's like greasy and like, ooh, nice tits. Like, I feel like he's got like a scabbard and like some like Cossack saber as well. Like, it's crazy, man. I just think it's at times so strangely written. At the end, he'll pull back the curtain and be like, you're welcome. I've just given you the most tragic figure in all of
this. This has been a lesson for all
of
us.
Yeah, almost like, oh, guess what? Belinda's us all. She's humankind.
This is what will happen if we continue down this road, society.
Yeah. The last page of the last book is just a mirror. It's like, it's so good. It's so funny. Anyway, sorry, keep going.
Do you know what is really good that I've just noticed? Your accents.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Much better than mine. I think you need to start reading this book.
What were those? You did a bit of English, bit of Dutch.
Bit of Russian.
I do love accents. I'm a parrot in that way.
Oh, we've got tons of accents in this book. So...
Oh, if you'd have me on for a reading, Jesus, you'd make my goddamn life.
Man, well, why don't we audition you right now?
Oh, What part is that? Because I know this film, right? We got to get the thing off the ground.
Well, who would you want to play in the movie?
I do like the idea of playing Robbins, Dr. Robin.
Oh, that position is currently available. You can have that.
Nice. Yeah, because that is like the strangest Dutch office. I also like these characters that are the tallish and the youngish, like this sort of generic. Yeah. That guy, I don't know. He's fucking in the ballpark of something. But yeah, I would love Robbins because he is a true strange duck.
Okay, well, let's try your accent then. So how do you think Dr. Robbins sound? He's a Dutchman, obviously.
Oh, wouldn't he say like, set yourself up on the desk there, Belinda? And then when she's all like naked, he'd just be like...
Oh, that's his feminine laugh. That's good.
I have a question for you guys because... I don't want to make you too self-conscious, but your guy, all three of you have great laughs.
Thanks.
Just real good. Alice is right there. Yeah, it's a dream. Both, all of them.
Yeah, James's is particularly great, I always think.
Well, it's all very infectious, but you sound like you're all good friends. Like, have you known each other for a long time?
10 long years, Thomas.
Really?
It was the summer of 2005.
James was attached to a trellis and we came across him in a glade. Not came across him. That's not the right phrasing.
No, that was later.
Yeah,
you
that
had
was
to remove your black song.
Yeah, we went to university together, so we've known each other a very long time. But this is the first time that we've kind of indulged in pornography together.
Yeah.
And it's catapulted into the stratosphere, right? I mean, isn't this like the hugest podcast in the world?
In the world?
In the world it is. It's nice of you to say this thing. Yeah, it's doing very, very well. It's very exciting. I mean, it's nice for my dad more than anything. You know, to give him an audience has been nice because otherwise he would just be a batshit crazy man in a garden shed writing really terrible porn.
Well, he is still that, but...
Well, he is that. He'll
he has an audience.
That, but at least he has an audience now. He's writing for somebody.
Yeah, we didn't want him to go down the Dr. Robbins road. We were like, come back, Rocky, come back.
I can imagine just going home and he's just like swaying and humming in his shed. Not never good.
Are there any tells in his personality that you'd get a bit of, like, is he cheeky in any way that, like,
is he cheeky?
Anything?
Oh, my God.
Oh, man, he's cheeky.
Yeah, he is unbelievably...
Naughty.
Yeah, he is. He always pushes the boundaries of any social situation.
We were talking to him the other day and he was like, I'm a maverick. He's a self-styled, like, wild child.
Yeah. We're like, we know, Dad, we know. You don't need to tell us that.
Do you think this is, oh my God, I'm squealing. Do you think that this, is he aware, has it gone to his head, I guess, is the short form question.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He is the most difficult person to live with on the planet at the minute. My mother is struggling daily to control, because the thing is with my dad, is that obviously we all love him as our dad, because I've got three sisters, and we're a very close family, but he isn't my dad anymore. He has just morphed into Rocky Flintstone. So really, when we're having Sunday dinner, it's Rocky at the other end of the table just like cracking innuendos. And we're like, Dad, please, I just want my father back. Just for a meal. It's like, find a switch, Dad. Just switch him off. It's fine. You don't have to be Rocky the whole time.
I can't imagine it. I mean, like, you know how books, they have the picture's author at the back.
Yeah.
Of them? I just could imagine what he envisions. Rocky Flintstone is probably actually a well put together portrait, you know, like a man in a turtleneck and like a pipe and some glasses.
We kind of thought that was the image that he would want to put out too, until we saw the image that he'd chosen for his ebook. I mean, and he did choose an author picture. I could only describe the person in the picture as a 21-year-old Chippendale
homosexual. And Dad was just like, God, isn't he just so sexy? I was like, no, Dad, no, he isn't. And also, not sure this is the right image to be promoting about yourself.
That's great. Like, in his mind, this, like, greased up Chippendale is like, I'm off work, guys.
Yeah. Like, a really weedy one?
Just, like, slaps out some books on a keyboard, like,
exactly.
So, like, greased. man, this is a masterpiece.
Can we take you back to the accents momentarily? Because your Dr. Robbins is really good, but I feel like we could take this a bit further because you've got, I imagine, quite a range that you can do.
Well, I don't know. Now there's a lot of pressure, but what do we think?
I don't know. Jim Sterling seems like an obvious one because he's, you know, off of America.
Yeah, he's like the American version that like an Irish Flintstone would think of America.
Exactly.
He's like, well, hey there, Belinda. You know, howdy, ma'am. Mind if I have a go? You know, it's like all that.
He's just like draped to the American flag eating apple pie.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good. I'm ticking that one off.
But everybody, whoever they are, they're just in the Lamborghini caviar world of pots and pans, you know?
Who knew it was so lucrative? Mate, we should all jump ship, I think, and get into pots
Tell
and pans.
Tell Keanu, he's in the wrong game.
Yeah, it's fucking, it's Entourage, man. It's slow and sex parties, but, you know, cookware as well.
Okay, so I'm ticking Jim Sterling off. That's brilliant. What about the Duchess?
The Duchess is the Panama biatch.
That's how we will always refer to her from now on, the Panama biatch. She is indeed, yeah.
What'd she do? Oh, yeah, she's like, come now, Belinda, take this leather riding crop. Let me use it as a dildo. I'm just saying it's Dewey from Family Guy or something.
One and the same.
I feel like she's got a bit of a rasp to her as well. Like she's seen a few things. She's probably been a smoker in her time. She's seen a few things.
Yeah.
A very Kathleen Turner, like, oh, yeah. Come to my bed and let me shove my leather riding crop into your vagina. Doesn't sound right.
Something sounds like it's being tensed. You're right.
Yeah. Let me take a squat on your face.
I think you've been applying pressure to yourself there.
Yeah, that almost sounds like Voldemort. Oh,
yeah. It's definitely somewhere between Kathleen Turner and Voldemort.
That Panama biatch.
What about, and I know this might be a tricky one, because I don't know if Jamie's ever tried to properly do this voice.
All right.
But, sorry. What about actually Belinda herself?
Oh, you know what? I was recently in England. At one point, we went up to York, and every night there was some crazy hen party with just like women who had so much fake tanner on and the most mascara, all at the same time. It's like, get that eyeliner thick and make sure your skin is orange, like Trump style.
We haven't met Thomas, but you've just described me. Thank you.
Yeah, but I kind of think her Belinda as her. Like, that's the kind of image I have of just someone clomping around on high heels, like, fucking up their ankles on the cobblestones, being like, oh, which bar are we going to next? You know?
Proper Essex girl.
Yeah. Come on, you know.
Oh, my God, that's so Belinda.
You can see the top of her breast, but then also her gut, like.
That's the curvature.
I really
right
do
there.
Think those drawings on your Instagram were perfect. That is so Belinda. Just like this portly body with her beard.
Aww.
And she's just like gung-ho, like smiling.
She's almost like a Nancy Drew. Off on a new adventure. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, if you're having a threesome and suddenly someone claps to turn on the clapper light and reveal the biggest crowd they've ever had, over 230 people, and it's like, surprise, isn't this fun? All these people have been watching you. I think everyone's normal reaction would not be like, oh, I'm just going to go with it. They'd be like in tears, like, you bastard, you lied to me. How could you do this? I trusted you. Like, you don't say, trust me, go with anything. Like, I'm going to show you the best time of your life. And then, like, ha-ha, trick you, Russian trick, you're in the porno now.
It's total bullshit.
Yeah, and I love that. What was it in that, when they got auctioned off, which was, like, it was after the maze, right? Like, she gets brought in, covered in, like, jizz, signs, and mud.
Yeah.
Like, ancient runes. Ancient, like, witch runes. And she's just like a total mess, and she's like, ooh, I wonder who's gonna get auctioned off, and like, it's like, no, Belinda, you from the get-go, of course it's you mess. And then she gets auctioned off in a crowd of people who have their business and with their wives there.
And their wives are just sat around on those chairs.
Yeah, like, Doug, don't vote. Oh, come on, it's a company retreat. You're supposed to. It's for charity, baby. Okay.
And then Doug disappears for 12 hours and comes back red raw.
Doug, put your hand down. You're not voting.
Oh, Doug is gutted that you didn't get Giselle, bald Giselle.
Yeah. Oh, the motley crew of like adventurers.
Well, this is the thing. And my dad has written like the most incredible character. Considering that a character is only in the book for all of three pages, he has an ability to create indelible characters like the Countess Zara, Dr. Robbins, Grigor.
Even Christina, brackets Chris.
Yeah, it is quite extraordinary. Jim Sterling, like, the list goes on. The Duchess, the youngish man, of course.
And you're so desperate for them to return. Like, you really hope that they will be revisited and they will be part of the narrative. Of course they won't, but like, you just hope they will.
It's just such a skill.
The only person, unless I'm wrong, the only person that's like stuck with us is Peter Rouse. Right? Isn't he like one of the few that's like, I'm going to be in it for the long haul?
And I feel like that's only because he said that they'd arranged a meeting, so he's like, bugger, got to sort that out now. Okay, fine.
But she also arranged meetings with a lot of other people, so maybe they'll come later on.
Okay. There are two parts of the book. There's all of the, like, sexy, in inverted commas, stuff, all of the erotic stuff. But then there's all the business stuff. And I feel like that's where it's most useful to you, Thomas, because you're in Silicon Valley and that's all about startups and stuff. Obviously, this is maybe some stuff that you can use and you can kind of inform your character with. So you're welcome.
Yeah. I'll just revisit, what was it, chapter 3 constantly when I need just, a strong... What is it? How 2 pages of business admin?
Yeah,
utterly. I think maybe that was his attempt at sort of like, well, it can't all be sex. So here's my fleshing out the world. But it was like specific without telling you anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it was really boring and really laborious, but nothing actually happened or was informed to us. It's extraordinary. Again, a skill.
There was a lot of taxi booking that took a long time.
Oh yeah, and great. Like the characters in that chapter and like that area are great. It would just be like, you know, like, oh, that's Tim Tadwell and he's from, you know, Westchestershire and he's coming and, you know, he had a great idea, so Belinda liked it.
Exactly.
You know,
so
he's all these
vague.
Like very like Nigel Cummingsworth and like
that is not a
regional
bad name.
District manager of whatever.
We love Des Martin.
And Ken Dewsbury.
Oh, yeah.
They're just so boring and pedestrian.
Can I ask, what was your dad? Well, he was a businessman, right? In some way, like he was an office guy.
Yeah, he was a salesman.
In pots and pans? Like in
no,
that kind of stuff?
He sold concrete for a while.
He sold many things.
Oh, yeah.
He was just like, his resume said salesman.
He's lived so many lives. He's drawn on so many things to get to this point.
I don't have many encounters with like true blue Irishmen, but like you're describing what someone in my position would think of an Irishman to be. To just be like a little bit off his rocker, like, well, did you know what sex is, mind you? You know, just not knowing what it is. And then like, what do you do for a living, sir? I sell anything that moves.
Rocky is the sort of guy that at any family gathering, it gets to about 2 a.m. and out comes the harmonica and the whole family starts singing Irish songs and he's there playing them. I mean, he is great.
Yeah, the harmonica.
What a beauty. What a gem. I mean, there was that part, right, I can't remember when, but there was some Irish song that was referenced and you knew a bit of it.
Oh, yeah. Like, Will Ye Go, Lassie Go?
That was great, man.
Well, we're writing a book actually, Thomas, which has got all of Rocky's stuff in it, like all of his thoughts when he was writing each chapter, where he got his inspiration from, like where he likes to write, like all of this insight. So we'll have to send you on.
Oh, I'd love it. I would love it.
We'll even get him to sign one for you. How about that?
Oh, my word.
This has been so great. And I'm sure like Rocky will be thrilled. You know, somebody who's doing stuff in business, whether it be in fiction, is listening to this and, you know, taking his tips and his thoughts forward. So it has been so brilliant to talk to you. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for chatting to us.
Likewise. It's rare and exciting that you kind of like either watch or listen to or experience something that is just so captivating, especially in such a strange way. I mean, it's been so fun listening. And from in the Hollywood spectrum of myself to Elijah Wood, we wish you guys all the best.
Well, actually, before you go, we have got a little challenge for you, actually, because you have been nominated for an Emmy, which is fantastic. Congratulations.
And, oh, can't wait to lose.
Well, interesting. If you were to win, your challenge is to get the word LIDS into your exceptions speech.
You're throwing down a gauntlet to try and work your podcast into my Emmy award acceptance speech. That is Belinda level ballsy. I mean, the odds, just so your hopes are in the right place, I think I saw on some, like, you know, awards website that my odds of winning are 93-1.
Oh, wow. Okay, don't bother then.
Yeah. I think it's safe to say that I'm going to fly from Puerto Rico, put a suit on, and then just fly dejected back to Puerto Rico.
Well, don't worry, we've hedged our bets. We've actually asked Rachel Bloom as well.
Oh, good. Well, she's got a chance, you know. She's been winning awards left, right, and center.
She said she was in, I can't remember how she worded it, that she was in with a better chance than you. No, she didn't really. I'm just starting the beef.
Touche.
Touche, darling. Righty-o. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Thomas.
Cool.
Yeah, it's been amazing. Thanks, man.
Indeed it has.
Yeah.